Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, or 12, I'm sorry, we're going to be in verse 12. And we're going to be opening it up, talking about the first and the last Adam. And so when we talk about the first and the last Adam, that would be Adam being the first and then Jesus being the last Adam. And we're going to break all that down. I'm going to share something with you, though. I was talking to Kevin Dunnigan this morning. And he was sharing how he read an article. And, you know, because sometimes some people, it's so funny. I get people to come up to me and they're like, if they're not telling me what to preach on, they're telling me how bad my preaching is. I'm like, okay, that's okay. We'll deal with it. But it's interesting that an atheist had written an article, and this was about 2 weeks ago, and Kevin's going to send it to me, and then anybody that wants it, you can ask him, or I'll send it to you. But an atheist had written an article, and in the article it said that today's churches have left the Word of God. And it's interesting how the atheist has noticed that the churches aren't preaching out of the Word of God. Amen? And so in the article, he writes how he went to various churches or pastors and asked them, why is it that the churches have left the Word of God, that aren't preaching from the Word of God, aren't teaching from the Word of God? And the pastor said, well, we've just kind of come to the conclusion we're not too sure if it's real or not. Right? So I'm going, that was like, okay, even right now I got to refrain because you just kind of want to pound on a desk, and right? You're like, are you kidding me? And so I was talking to Kevin, you know, this year will be our 10th year. And realistically, we should never have made it. My wife and I, not being the smartest knives or the sharpest knives in the drawer, of course my wife is, I lack, but you never cut your own toes off. You get what I'm saying? And so we started the church in the most unorthodox way that you could. I mean, God said go. We said okay. Everybody else, they take out teams. They raise all this money. They take support. And we just show up. Here we are. Okay, God, what do you want next? Okay, God, what do you want next? And the church is still here today. And I believe, and I truly believe this with all of my heart, we are here today for one reason, and it's because we've never left the Word of God. Amen? And we're not going to leave the Word of God. And so as we go through this again, guys, and I'm just pulling you back in to remind you why we go verse by verse. You know, I may not be your most dynamic preacher, and that's fine too. And I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, and that's fine too. But here's what we're going to do. Man, we're going to break down truth so that we understand it. And we're going to gain knowledge, and we're going to gain understanding so that we can take that out to the people. Amen? The people that are lost, the people that need it. You need it to understand and encouragement, and the people that don't know any better, they need you to know what you're talking about. Amen? So that's why we do what we do, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing because I believe it works. It's so funny. People will leave the church because they move away or various reasons, and then they go, and they'll call me, email me, or I'll see them again, and they go, Pastor, you set the bar really high. It is so hard to find a church that teaches the Word of God. We're just going to stick with it. Our Sunday school teachers, man, we got dynamic Sunday school teachers. They're teaching the Word of God. Amen? Man, we're just going to keep doing it. So, with that being said, let's get into Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. We're talking about Adam and Jesus Christ, and we're talking about the life and death, or death and life, if you look at it in the order that it happened. And you go, how can death and then life? Well, we're spiritually speaking, death happens first. You're born into death. And we go, wow, that's kind of a crazy concept, right? But when you're born, you're born into death. But then Jesus comes along and gives us life. And so we're born into death with the opportunity to have life. And that's an amazing, amazing thing when you think about it. I was Pastor Brothers and I were talking when he was here. By the way, how many enjoyed Pastor Brothers? Amen. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I really enjoyed my visit with him. But we were talking, and he said, "You know, I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can have joy and walk with Jesus and have that peace and have that joy, have that contentment, and then give it all up to walk back in death." He goes, I just don't get that. And I said, you know, it's kind of crazy, but that's that sin nature in us that we acquired from Adam. Thank you, Adam, right? And so that is what we're going to learn about this morning. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And we're going to cover 12 through 21. So I either have to talk fast or we have to stay late. I know you guys are saying you'll stay late, and I'm with you on that. It's good. How many have pies in the oven? Okay, we're going to put pies in the oven. How many made pies for tonight? Oh, there's more that needs to go home and make some pies. I'm just telling you, we need a bunch of pies. We need like 40 pies, guys, so we can make bunches of money and throw a big party, sending kids off to camp so you can have a big party at home because your kids are off to camp, see? There's a huge benefit in baking pies. You need to do this. All right. Let's get busy. Romans 5:12. Therefore, because of everything I just said in 1 through 11, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. And we go, man, this just isn't good. Everybody dies, and we didn't have a say in this. Well, no, you didn't have a say in it. Look here in 13. By the way, 12, 13, and 14 is all about Adam. Look here in 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And so we're going to stop, and we're just going to kind of focus on 12, 13, and 14 just for a second. So we see two people have come into the human race, one being Adam, one being Jesus. Obviously more than that, but these two have completely affected the human race like no one else and like no one else ever will. And we see that Jesus, in 14 it says that Jesus is a type of Adam, or Adam was a type of Jesus to come. And we go, what do you mean a type of? How can you compare Adam and Jesus? Well, if you look in 1 Corinthians 15:14, I need you to pull those verses up. 15:45. That's why you're not pulling it up. 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And so all of a sudden we see a difference right there between Adam and Jesus. One is Adam became a living being. In other words, a living human being. And then the last Adam, being Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Remember earlier I just said about death and then life. We were born in Adam, which was death, and then we have the opportunity, because listen, not everybody gets life, amen? Not everybody's going to have life. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That life-giving spirit, in other words, he is giving us the spirit of life, being the Holy Spirit. But it's only through Jesus that we're going to get this Holy Spirit. So there's your two difference, if you will. Through one man's sin, the entire world is condemned to die. Through another man's life giving, the entire world has opportunity to live. And that's how they are alike, if you will. They completely affected the entire human population. And so these are the two way, or the two men, and how they have done that. So the interesting thing is, we're going to look at what both bring to the table. What Adam brought to the table, and we're going to look at what Jesus brings to the table, so that we can see the two. Because you really have to understand what's going on. You have to understand how through one man, death entered into all. It's interesting, I asked this question on a Wednesday night. I said, why did Eve have to come from Adam. Why did God make Eve out of Adam? Why did he take a rib and make Eve? Well, if sin nature is passed through the man, which it is, right, through Adam, even Eve came from Adam. And so therefore, she got the sin nature as well, which is why she was deceived and then gave in to it. Because she had the sin nature because she came from Adam. So therefore, all human beings came from Adam. You see how that works? And so that's why she was able, that's why she had the sin nature as well. And that's why this verse states that sin was passed through all human beings from one man, Adam. Okay, so as we go into this, we're going to look at the two and we're going to compare them. We're going to see here in 12 and 13, it says, therefore, just as one man, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. And so we see that through Adam comes sin, through Jesus comes righteousness. Two complete opposites, amen? And so we see through Adam comes death. And then through Jesus comes life. Two complete opposites. Look in 1 Corinthians 15:52, if you'll bring 1 Corinthians 15:52 up. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, listen, we get life through Christ. There is no other way to obtain this. You were born to die. And we see, how many people have ever escaped death? You know, it's guaranteed everyone born is going to die. You just, nobody has escaped that yet. Many have tried. You know, they go through the freezing and the cloning and they do all this other stuff. But you're not going to escape death. The only way you're going to escape death is through Jesus Christ. And so as we see this, we see that we get death from Adam, we get life from Jesus Christ. So condemnation and from Adam, we are condemned. And by the way, the law condemns us. See, do you know how, if you post a, and I use speeding because how many here have ever been speeding? Now I got a ticket because some of you have gotten away with it. Like Larry gets tickets all the time, he just gets away with them. And then Missy will get a ticket and she gets stuck with it. And then she hates her husband for about a week. I'm just kidding. Not really. But anyway. So how many have gotten a ticket or gotten in trouble because you did something wrong? Yeah, right? The law, how did you know you did something wrong? Because it was the law. It was posted that thou shalt not. And you did it anyway. You know, it's funny, when I went to Korea, everybody was like, don't let him get in trouble. Bring him back home. Don't let him get arrested. I'm thinking, why would people say that about their pastor? And then I realized, man, you know what? It's because I'm always pushing the envelope. How many push the envelope? Hey, for the glory of God. That's that sin nature in me, man. I always want to have fun. You know, someone once said, well, Pastor, you sure know how to at least live on the edge. And it's like, man, this is the greatest balancing act there ever is. It's right here on the edge. I'm going to enjoy life. Jesus said, I give you all things that you might enjoy life. Amen. I'm going to enjoy life, but I have this parachute called Jesus. I try not to take advantage of that, but I do try to also enjoy life. Amen. So we have condemnation through Adam. We have justification through Jesus. If we look here in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son, who's the Son? Jesus, has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Here's the interesting thing. As you look at this passage, guys, and I'm a big words guy, right? Many of you know that. He who believes in... But then it goes on, has everlasting, and he who does not believe the. Jesus came and brought truth. Somebody tell me where else this truth came from. Did it come from anywhere else other than Jesus? No. And so when you read these, guys, oh man, if you would stop and really pay attention to what you're reading when you read the Bible, because I know everybody in here reads the Bible every day. God bless you. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe what the Son has come and told them, what Jesus Christ has established through this, you don't have everlasting life. If you don't believe this, right, the Son, because it's the only place we get it, if you don't believe this, then you don't have everlasting life. And you're condemned, not because Jesus condemned you, but because man, Adam, had condemned us through his sin and we acquired the sin nature. You see, guys, listen, here's what I want you to get through this today. As we unfold this, as we continue to look through this. If you don't have the peace of God, it's because you chose not to have it. If you don't have everlasting life, it's because you chose not to have it. If you're not being delivered by God, it's because you have chosen to not believe the Son of God. We can't accuse God of not loving us because he did love us. We can't accuse God of overlooking us because he doesn't overlook us. He says, I desire you. I would have none to perish, but all to come to me, all to have everlasting life. And so we see God is constantly drawing us to him. And what we have a tendency to do is go, hey, you know what? You hold that and I'll come back and get it later. Isn't that what we do? And then while we're over here fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we complain about God over there not being over here in our sin. Isn't that crazy? And then we get mad at God. When a loved one dies, well, God could have prevented it. But you got to understand, it was appointed unto man once to die. Nobody's going to escape death. Why are we getting mad at God when he's made it clear that we're all going to die? Well, because we want it our way. And so we look at God and we go, hey, we'll come back. We'll get involved when we're ready, God, but you stay right there. And then we come over here and, oh, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. And he's like, I told you don't go over there. I know, but I need you. No, you come over here. No, I got to stay right here, but you come join me. And God goes, I'm not going to do that. And then we get mad at him. And we want to blame him. And you know, he says, listen, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Remember that? And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. That's powerful. Listen, the wrath of God abides on man that chooses not to believe. So don't be shocked when everything goes wrong and your world seems upside down and you're going through troubles and everything is... Because let me say this, as a Christian, your world could be upside down and you could go through troubles. The difference is God will give you the peace that passes all understanding while you're in the storm. Versus when you don't have him, your mind is racing, your heart is racing, anxiety is setting in. Because what do you have to grab hold of? Can you imagine grabbing hold of a rope that could pull you to safety, and then you're pulling the rope, pulling the rope, pulling the rope, pulling the rope. Next thing you know, the end of it's in your hand because it wasn't tied off to anything. Jesus Christ is our anchor. And if you don't have him, you just have an empty rope. Why? Because of condemnation. Why? Because it came from Adam. Thank you, Adam. Jerk. No, I'm kidding. We're not. We won't go there, right? But kind of you want to say that, don't you? I want you to see here in verse 15. In verse 15, we switch gears, and this is all about Jesus from 15 to 21. And it says this. And I want you to mark this in your Bible, okay? I know some of you don't like to mark your Bible, so mentally mark it then, all right? But the free gift. Mark free gift. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift. I want you to see the gift here. And the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So he says, listen, as much condemnation that has come, more so grace. More so grace and the free gift. What free gift? Salvation. See, people try, especially in this area, you know, in the Northeast, people try to work and be good. You know, they think, oh, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. But then we got to ask the question, how good is good enough? And then by whose standards? And then if you look at everybody's standards, man, they are all changing, radically changing. There was a time where if a man went into a woman's restroom, he'd get pulverized. Today, he's invited, encouraged. It's insanity. So whose standards do we follow? Well, we can't follow man's standards because I can assure you, we have 100 plus in here today. And if I asked everybody, there would be some point where they vary from each other. So whose standard are we going to follow? This is it. It's the only thing that's never varied. And the only time it does vary is someone's interpretation because they want it to fit their lifestyle. But it's never varied. And so we need to hold on to that. It's a free gift, guys, not of works. Look here. And so then it says in verse 16, and the gift, underline that, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, mark that, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Guys, it wasn't through Adam that we have life. We actually gained death through Adam. It was the free gift. It was the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of life, the gift of salvation that we have life. And why is it that man rejects that so heavily? Why is it that man takes God's free gift? Oh, I believe in God. Well, you believe in Jesus? Ah, come on, you're pushing it. Well, then what God do you believe in? Oh, I believe good works get me there. How did you land on that? Like what taught you good works get you there? Well, it's just what I believe. It's like, how did you get there? I believe in reincarnation. How do you land there? I mean, there's never any proof of anybody ever being reincarnated. Well, I just believe. No, you read a crazy book and you believed it. It's the insanity of where we go sometimes. Like, how do we land there? But yet we take the Word of God and we toss it aside. I struggle with that because I really don't grab it sometimes. But then look here in 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace. Wow, look at this, man. He's just saying, listen, you got the gift and you got grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace is the gift. Abundance of grace and the gift of what? Of righteousness. Look again. And now it's not just the gift or a gift or the free gift. It is the gift of righteousness. For without righteousness, we could never see the Father. And you know what? How many here are righteous? How many here can be righteous on their own? How many? None of us. Why? Because the Bible already said we're condemned. And you know what? Not just the Bible, but let's just look at the law for a second. The law says we're condemned. How does the law say we're condemned? Well, if you've ever broken the law, you're guilty. How many here have ever lived a perfect life? You've never sinned. You've never messed up. You've never broken a law of any kind, any sort, whether you thought it or you acted it out. We're all guilty. And that's the whole point that Paul's trying to present here. Is listen, you are all condemned because you have messed up somewhere in your life and you have sinned against God. What God? The God of creation. The God, the Father of Jesus Christ. There is no other God. And if we say there is, we're a liar. Because there can only be one God. By definition, God literally means supreme being. If God means supreme being, then there's nothing above him, right? So there can only be one God. And we say, oh, well, you know, we got the God over here and the God over here. And listen, in the Greek and the Romans, they had many gods. But there can only be one God by definition. The interesting thing is, if you look at everything and you look here in the Bible, God, the Father, the Creator, God and Jesus, named the earth. And of course, they named it Earth. Every other planet, universe, whatever you want to call it, is named after a Greek god. Because man named them. Earth is named after God. It's really interesting, isn't it? Man, when we start looking at things, I'm going to tell you, man, God is so good and he's so amazing. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you the gift of righteousness. Why are you going to give us the gift of righteousness? Because you can't obtain it on your own. You're condemned. What can you do to make your sins right? How many can go back and correct every sin they've ever wronged? We can't. And so how do we obtain righteousness? Well, we can't earn it. It's a free gift. And that's what Paul's talking about. He says, listen, I want you to understand where you came from and where you can go. And we get caught up in just trying to get there on our own. And Paul says, you can't do that. You can't make it. It's like you want to jump off the George Washington Bridge without a parachute, without nothing, and you're going to land on a barge on the bottom. Yeah, you guys caught that, huh? It's pretty ugly. And Paul's going, you can't do this on your own. You are condemned. Condemned to die, but. Oh, you got to love the but. But through one man, Jesus Christ, you get life. Life. Life everlasting. I love this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace, what's Paul talking about here so far that we've read in 15, 16, 17? Grace. Guys, don't ever underestimate grace. You know, we think about grace, we hear the word grace, but do we really grab hold of it? Let me tell you, grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited, in other words, non-deserving. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve the gift of God. We're condemned. You go, hey, I know you guys are thinking, what a positive message. I'm trying to get you to see the positive to it. The positive is grace. Grace. Oh, my goodness. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I'll share this with you. I think this really shows, kind of gives you a picture of God's hand. I was reading an article yesterday about a judge, and I think, oh, wow, what state was it in? Oh, Fayetteville. It was in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's where it was. And this man, he is pulled over, or he's on probation for drinking and driving, and then he gets arrested again because he's got to go in and take urine test, blood test, so on and so forth, and he fails it. And so he goes before the judge, and the judge gives him a night in jail. In solitary confinement. And you go, that's it? One night? Well, here's the thing. He's a soldier. Did something, I think it was like 5 tours in Iraq. Witnessed many of his comrades get killed. And he was sharing how... In the Jeep that they were in, they hit a bomb and it blew the Jeep up. And when it did, though, the way it caught it, it didn't catch it to blow the Jeep up, but it caught it where it threw the Jeep in the air, and the Jeep went into the air, went upside down, and landed in the riverbed. And so he said, the water, I could feel it rising, but we were trapped. We couldn't get out. And the water was rising. And he said, I felt it hit my feet, and then I felt it hit my knees, and then I felt it hit my waist, then I felt it hit my chest, then I felt it hit my neck, and it got right to my chin, and it stopped. And he said, for hours, I couldn't move, because if I moved, I'd take in water. for hours and hours and hours. And he said, the anxiety was setting in. All this, he said the pressure was setting in, and he thought he was going to lose his mind. And then finally somebody got there and pulled the Jeep up and got him out alive, but all the rest died. He was the only one that survived. And so he had this massive fear of being put in confined space. And the judge knew it, because the judge had already been counseling him and talking to him prior to this. They had a relationship where the judge was trying to work with him. And he said, I hate to do this to you, but you have broken the law, and I have to do this. And so you will be put in solitary confinement in jail for one day, one night. And the soldier immediately started sweating while he was being convicted for his guilt. And as he was sitting there, you could see the sweat starting to drip off of him. And they hadn't even taken him out of the courtroom yet. But the anxiety was building up so much so, because he said, all I could think about was sitting in that Jeep again in the water, coming right up to my chin, and I was terrified. And they handcuffed him, took him off, and they took him and put him in solitary confinement. 3 minutes after he was in solitary confinement, the door opens up and the judge walks in and spends the night with him. He said, I wasn't going to let him go through it alone. I knew what was going through his mind. I knew we had already talked. I knew what he was going through, and I wasn't going to let him go through it alone. And so what happened was, he sat there and he said, we talked. And the soldier said, as we talked through the night, and we talked the whole night, we never slept. And he said, as we talked more and more, the walls started disappearing. And he said, before we were done, the walls were gone. They didn't exist anymore. My anxiety was gone. It was completely gone. And so all that fear of being imprisoned, all that fear of being, anxiety of being in this close-knit, confined space disappeared. And that's what happens with Jesus and grace. You see what I'm saying? He says, listen, you got to go through life, and it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasurable, because you're condemned and you're going to die. And this is what sin does. Sin brings an oppression. Sin sucks the life out of you. Sin will kill you. But I'm going to come and I'm going to sit with you. And by the time we're done, the walls will disappear. That's grace. Guys, do we understand grace? We are condemned. We are guilty. We deserve to spend the night in solitary confinement. We deserve death and hell. And we go, oh, I'm not that bad. No, we are. That's what sin does. It kills. That's what death does. It destroys. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to give you the gift of righteousness. And the gift of righteousness is this life. And I'm going to come, and no matter what comes in your life, I'm going to sit with you. And no matter what's going on around you. Because if you notice, when he was in that jail cell, those walls didn't disappear. They were still there. But because of the gift that the judge gave him by coming in and sitting with him, those walls disappeared. And that's what the gift of righteousness is. That's what the gift of God does. You know, when he says, come stay with me, that's what he means. You come and you stay with me. And the walls will disappear if you stay with me. They'll still be there. Listen, everything's still going on. But you're going to be focused on me. And that gift of righteousness will deliver you. That's what he's talking about. Can you imagine what that man would have went through had he went through it alone? Can you imagine what we'd have to go through if we had to go through it alone? Guys, don't underestimate this gift. Man, when you read this, listen, I'm telling you, you have to look at Scripture. Boy, when I look at the Scripture, I get so excited. Especially when you stop and you really look at what it's saying. I mean, examine the words. Don't just breeze through and say, yeah, I read it. What do you want now? No, read it. Devour it. Consume it. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of you. And man, you'll start seeing promises and gifts in the Word of God that you've never seen before in your life. And I'm telling you, it will overwhelm you with goodness. It'll overwhelm you with grace, with the gift. Oh, not just the gift of salvation, man, but the gift of deliverance. Deliverance from every situation. We don't have to go through it alone. Jesus says, listen, this is a gift, and I'm going to give it to you. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing gift. The next thing we see in this is Adam's disobedience. And in Adam's disobedience, it brought death. But in Christ's obedience, it brought life. I want you to see in Psalm 40, verse 8. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says this, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I want you to see Hebrews 10, 9. In Hebrews 10, 9. Hebrews 10, 9. Okay, so I'm out of order. Well, there you go. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Now hold on here a second. He takes away the first being Adam and death. The Father takes away the first being Adam and death. That he may establish the second. The interesting thing is that word may literally means it's up to you. It's up to you. And you go, what do you mean it's up to me? You see, God sent him and God established the second. He established the Jesus. But that word may means it only applies to you if you apply Jesus to you. That word may means this is your decision. It's completely up to you. He did his part. And you're going to see he says it again later on, which is just amazing. He says, he used the word might. And we go, that he might, what, that he can't do it? No, might because it's up to us. Not salvation, but receiving the salvation. Not the grace, but receiving the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Guys, when you look at this passage, oh, you got to grab it. If you are living a defeated life, it's because you have chosen that life. And you might sit there and go, Pastor, I have not. But I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, He will deliver you if you live in Him. And so if you're not being delivered, are you focused on you? Then if you're focused on you, then you're not focused on God, and all you see are the walls. And those walls will just keep closing in and closing in and closing in. Just like with that soldier. But man, when that judge came in and he helped him to get rid of the walls, that's what God says. I'll help you get rid of the walls. We'll tear them down. Oh, they'll still be there, but you won't notice them. You remember when Peter walked on the water? And the Bible says that he walked. There's no question. He walked on the water. When did he sink? When he took his eyes off of Jesus. When he focused on the storm and on the junk going on around him. Guys, the only time we sink is when we take our eyes off of Jesus. And people say, well, I struggle reading the Word. It's because you're not focused. See, you're thinking of everything else but spending time with God. Well, you know, I pray, but my prayers just hit the ceiling. Is your lifestyle backing up what you're really praying for? I mean, that you have to ask the question. You say, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. Are you doing anything to get out of that situation? Is your heart really wanting delivered? Or are you just tired of living in that mess, and so you're crying out to God, but you're not letting go of the mess? And you say, well, God's not delivering me. Where's this? Where's your heart? God says, I've given you the gift of righteousness. It's yours. It's yours for the taking, yours for the living, yours. It is yours, and it's free. It's a gift. But guys, where's our heart? What do we do with that gift? Do we focus on God, or are we focused on ourselves? Because if you're focused on yourself, you don't even see God, and you're going to sink. And we know that because Jesus even went up to Peter, and I love it because Jesus is like, pulls him up. And I can imagine as they're walking back to the boat, Jesus has his arm around Peter. Why did you doubt? Oh, you a little faith. Here, let me put you in the boat. Can you imagine what's going on there? Jesus isn't going to let you go, but man, there's got to come a time where we let go of the junk and we live in the gift of righteousness. What an amazing, amazing gift. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Listen, I'm telling you, you see, Jesus says, this is what keeps me alive. This is what grows me. This is what nourishes me. Not my own work, but the work of God, the Father. And so guys, if you're not nourished and you're struggling, that's what food is. It's nourishment and strength. Amen? And that's what Jesus is saying. My food, listen, my nourishment and my strength is doing the will of God. That's what it is. Of him who sent me, and not just do it, but to do what? What are we to do? finish. And so many of us, when the pressure comes, what do we want to do? We want to bail. Oh, it's too hard. I can't do this no more. And we bail out. Or I hear this, Pastor, you don't understand my struggle. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't understand my struggle. You see what I'm saying? Listen, let me give you these shoes for a little while and you walk in them. And here's what you'll find. I struggle every day like you struggle. And then you switch to somebody else in here, and you know what else you'll find? They struggle every day like you struggle. And then trade with another one, and you know what else you're going to find? They struggle just like you struggle. And then you find the most godly person that you know of walking the earth, and you change shoes with them, and you know what you're going to find? They struggle like you struggle. And like I struggle, like we struggle. What makes the difference? They're determined to do this. They're determined to finish. You don't have a struggle any greater than me. You don't have one any greater than the next person. Because here's why I say that. And you go, no, some are more than others. No, no, listen to me. We have a tendency to take a molehill and turn it into Mount Everest. Right? And so for me, what your struggle could be a molehill for me. But it's Mount Everest to you. And then my struggle, that's Mount Everest, could be a molehill for you. You see what I'm saying? That's why, it varies. It's the struggle, but it's how we look at it. It's how we interpret it. It's how we attack it. It's how we look at it. How we're going to conquer it. And it's our attitude. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do the will of the one who sent us? Who saved us? And are we going to finish? Your attitude and your love for Jesus is going to determine how you live out your gift of righteousness. See, it comes back to us again, doesn't it? Doggone it, Lord, why do you keep putting it on me? Right? Don't we want to say that? I know when I talk to people, they're like, all right, Pastor, I get it. It's my fault. Well, I'm glad you got it. Because the truth is, guys, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying all of us have the same problem. All of us have the same struggle. It just looks different sometimes. But man, when you're in the battle and you're in the trenches, sometimes it can be overwhelming. What are you doing with the grace, and what is your attitude to do this? We're all condemned. It means we're all in the same boat. But for those who decide to live under Christ, to live under righteousness, to receive the gift. Oh my goodness, man. We're miles ahead. We got a judge that comes in and sits with us and helps the walls disappear. Amen? Jesus was sold out. Hebrews 10:7. Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. This is Jesus saying, listen, it is written in the book of me to do your will. And he says, I'm here. Behold, let me get your attention. Hey, listen up. That's what he's saying. That's what that behold is. And I wonder if we have the same attitude where we say, behold, I have come and it is written in the Bible for me to do your will, O Lord. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to finish this race. And I'm going to battle the battle. I have a friend of mine who's been trying to quit smoking for 20 years. I sent him last couple of weeks, he's really been working hard on it. And so I sent him the text and I said, Philippians 4:13. I know you know the verse. The question is, do you believe it? The verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the verse. And I said, I know you know the verse, but the question is, do you believe it? If you know Jesus as your Savior, John chapter 3, Jesus said, if you've been born again, I know that's a horrible word in this area, but Jesus, because I didn't write, you're born againers. Have you ever heard that term? I didn't hear it until I came here. You're like, oh, you're one of them born againers, huh? Just amen, right? Yeah, I am. Praise Jesus. I'm a holy cupcake. Woo! And so, have you ever been born again? Yes. Well, listen, if you've been born again, if you've been born again, guys, man, you got promises, and you also know to do the will. You know what the will of your Father is. And it's do the works of the Father. That's what the will of the Father is. All right, I got to bring this in. I got to land the plane here. So let's go to Hebrews 5. Let me finish reading 18, and then we're going to go into 20:21. Let me read 18:19. It says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Through one man's act, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, for you and I, for our sin, right? That's what it says. Through one man, that's Jesus, the free gift came to all men. Who was left out? No one. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. So this free gift, salvation, came to all men. That's very important because then he goes on. Look here in 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that being Adam, many were made sinners. Why? Because the sin nature is, by the way, ladies, your sin nature came from your father. So on Father's Day, you can say thank you. And so by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You notice it says many. The gift of righteousness came to how many? All. But how? Then it goes on and it says the one man's obedience will be made righteous. In 19. So also by one man's obedience, many, many. That's different from all, isn't it? What's the difference between all and many? Why is it he came for all, but only many will be saved? Who's it up to? Us. See, guys, that's what you got to grab. That's what Paul is establishing. Listen, yes, you are under sin. Yes, you're under bondage. Yes, you're condemned to die. Yes, condemnation because of your sin. But listen, everyone, listen, newsflash. Jesus recognized this. God the Father recognized this and says, hey, I'm going to send Jesus. He's going to die on the cross. And so as many as want to come. And if that's all, we want all, right? John 3:16, for I would have none to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. And then here it says, though, only many. If you die and you go to hell, it is not God that sent you there. It is you that chose it. If you live life and you live it struggling, it is not God who chose it. He says, I've given you the gift of righteousness. I've given you this free gift. I'm going to deliver you. You chose to live in that. I didn't want it for you. You chose to live in it. And by the way, you can be imprisoned and God will still deliver you. And you can be complete peace. The question is, who are you going to focus on when you're sitting in prison? God says, I'll deliver you. How many have ever read the book Tortured for Christ? I'm going to tell you, that's an amazing book. You need to read it. Richard Wurmbrand wrote it. He was imprisoned. And he talks about how they were standing up for Jesus. And these guys came in and tortured them and tortured them and tortured them. And so for almost 15 years, Richard Wurmbrand was tortured. And this was his prayer. He said, they led many to the Lord in there. Many of the soldiers, they led to the Lord in there. But they were constantly being abused. And he said, we were getting about the 14th year I realized all of a sudden I was struggling to remember the scriptures. They were coming fewer and fewer to me. And of course, they didn't have a Bible, didn't have anything. And he said, this was my prayer. Lord, get me out of here before I don't remember the scriptures anymore. Or, Lord, refresh my mind. Why was he so concerned about the scriptures? Because that was his delivery. Those were his promises. Listen, that was his reminder of his gift of righteousness. That's what took the walls down, is the scriptures. And guys, we sacrifice them. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Look here in 20. Moreover, in other words, guys, this is more important, right? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. That's the key verse. Grace is plentiful. What a promise. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that your condemnation might abound. That's the law. The law condemns. The law kills. The law says, you are guilty. And then Jesus says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace is plentiful. But for us to grab hold of this grace, what do we have to do? We have to decide we want it. We have to live in the grace of righteousness, the gift of righteousness, to get this grace, to understand this grace, to grow in this grace. And it's there, it's plentiful, guys. But we walk away from it. And we want to live our own life. We want to fulfill our own desires. Listen, we want to get out. We want to get out of relationships. We want to get out of jobs. We want to get out of messes. We want to get out of financial bondage. We want to get out of all this. Meanwhile, sin put us in these problems. And now we just want to bail out. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you the grace to walk through your whole life. But man, you got to grab hold of me and you'll get victory. And bailing out is not your option. Grace. Grab hold of it. It's plentiful. It much more abounds than condemnation, guys. Look here in 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back up into 21. I want you to underline this word. In 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Might. That means there's an option here, right? Then he goes down and he says here in 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Why is the word might there? Because again, it's up to us. Do you see how God says, I'm giving you the choice. Listen, this is you. This is your option. This is your decision. This is your life. This is what you choose to walk. You're either going to walk in grace because it's there, or you're not going to walk in grace. You're going to walk in the flesh because it's there too. Let's face it. It doesn't go anywhere, right? How many of us would love to slay the flesh? Oh my goodness. And God says, listen, this word might, Paul puts in there might. Why might? Because it will if you decide. Sin will abound if you decide, and righteousness will abound if you decide. All of a sudden, who's held accountable? We are. And so Paul says, listen, understand, death came through Adam, life came through Christ. But the life you live or the life you die in is going to be your choice. We have options. I love when I tell people, every decision is a choice. And they go, oh, no, I didn't have a choice in this one. You do have a choice. You have a choice to tell a lie or to tell the truth. You have a choice to stay or to leave. You have a choice to do what's right or to do what's wrong. I mean, in every situation, there's a choice. And people say, well, you don't understand, I had to lie because if I didn't lie, no, you chose to lie. Well, they would have gotten in trouble. Were they guilty? Yes. Well, then sometimes you got to let them pay the price. And just like this, when you face God, you're not going to have that option to say there was no choice, because God says in his word that sin might reign, or righteousness might reign. The one that does reign is up to you and up to me. I tried to end that on a happy note. Did it work? Guys, your life is your decision. What are you going to do with it? If it goes bad, don't get mad at God. Don't call me up on the phone and tell me God's not real. Don't call me on the phone or email me and tell me how wrong I am about the verses. Just stop and look at yourself. Like, look in the mirror. Have you ever looked in the mirror and not like what you've seen? Man, there's been times where I've looked in the mirror and I just want to look down. I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And then the choice for me to go back to the mirror and do what's right and be able to look myself in the eye again is completely up to me on what I choose to do. You can choose to live in the sin that you're living in, and you can choose to die in that. Or you can choose to grab a hold of the gift of righteousness and live your life like never before. You know why I love right here? That's where God always seems to be. Isn't it? He's not back here where it's really comfortable. He's right up here. Always seems to be right there doing an amazing work. And listen, things happen on the edge. And that's where he's at. I love being there because that's where he's at. And sometimes you got to get over here and you're like, oh, I really don't like this edge, man. This is big, big, big. And God goes, yeah, but this is where I'm doing all my work. And you go, okay, God, I'm going to join you there. Okay, God, I'm going to join you over here. I'm not going to go, Lord, this is my sinful world, and if you want me, you come and be a part of it. It's not going to happen, guys. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If I asked you this question, if you were to die right now, do you know that you know you're going to heaven? And you can't answer it yes without question. Then I challenge you to look at your life and at your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so now here's my question for you. Do you want to continue to live in condemnation? Do you want to continue to live in a jail cell where the walls are just closing in? Or do you want the gift of righteousness? To be delivered, to have the judge come in and sit with you and have those walls disappear? Because this is the decision that you make for Jesus Christ that's going to determine whether those walls close in or whether they disappear. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, those walls are guaranteed to close in. I just want to give you this opportunity. If you say, hey, I believe what the Bible says. I believe what was told today. I believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he came and gave me the gift of righteousness. Then I want you to pray this prayer. Understand, the words don't save you. It is your heart condition, your heart attitude, that you truly believe this. The words are just a roadmap to carry you through it, and it kind of gives you a time stamp of the day that you asked Jesus or that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That's why we do the prayer. To give you that time stamp. That time where you can go, nope, I remember that day. That without a shadow of a doubt, I surrendered my life to Christ. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ today, you pray this prayer. Quietly in your heart, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have messed up. I deserve the condemnation, and I realize that. But I believe the promise that you gave that I could have the gift of righteousness. And today, I receive that gift freely, understanding I cannot earn this. I cannot work for this. I cannot buy it. The only way I can receive it is to believe on Jesus Christ And that's what I do today, right now. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. For today I repent of all wrong, believing that you cleanse me through your shed blood.